On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Well, we're headed into summer. Kids all over the globe, especially certainly the United States, are traditionally off in the summer and enjoying time with family, doing other things other than school. But with us today from Focus on the Family, Dina Thayer joins us. She's an author and speaker and parenting associate at Focus on the Family. Dina, thanks for taking the time. And forgive me, is it Dina or Deanna?
It is Dina. You are correct.
Oh, okay. Should have just gone with it. But we appreciate your time and your expert insight into all things kids and, you know, turning the off switch on the brain and how we might mitigate some of that as kids head into what some call the summer slide. That's the first time I think maybe I've become familiar with that term. Can you fill us in?
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me and just shining a light on this important topic. There is a phenomena called summer slide, or some people just refer to it as declining in academic prowess over the summer. But it's a little bit alarming because I think, and I'm dating myself here, but when I grew up, summer was just a free-for-all. And we were outside playing till the streetlights came on. And there really wasn't a lot of thought or attention given to keeping your school skills up. But now we know that that is actually important. And depending on the studies you read, the numbers vary. But generally, we can say about 3/4 of kids will go down in math, 70 to 78%, depends on again, what study you're reading. Reading itself goes down. Some kids will lose as much as 2 months of the gains they've made in the previous academic year. And the bummer here, Steve, is that this is cumulative. So what I'm learning is that when we go backwards in the summer, year after year, there's a real detrimental effect. So for instance, with elementary school kids, in a recent study that I read, by fifth grade, the cumulative effect of all that summer decline means that some students are 2.5 to 3 academic years behind their peers. So this is a really important thing to be thinking about and for parents to pay some attention to as we go into summer break.
Yeah, what keeps coming to mind is, you know, previously in Algebra 1, you know, if you're going back to school and it's been a while, you know, it's season 2 now of whatever you're binging and you forget what, you know, where you left off. And, you know, if you kind of stay with it through the summer, and let me throw this out to the athletes out there, things like, especially golfers. Now, I whenever I mention golfing, friends will say, "Oh, you golf?" And I say, "Well, I go." But for those who are good at the sport, they go often and they practice. Perfect practice makes perfect performance. You should. What do we say? Practice makes permanent. So if you're not doing your swing correctly and you're practicing that, that's how you're going to perform. So with that thought, heading through the summer, the things you're learning in school and doing in school, there have to be ways that the kids' minds, the gears can keep going through the summer. And I'm sure, Dina, as long as you've been doing this, you've probably figured out, kids that they want the break. They're not interested in sitting down and doing school, but there's really some fun outings and things that can incorporate academic skills or keep that thought process going in these various fields, math, reading, science, and what have you. Any ideas for families?
Yes, I have a few I'd love to share. And you're exactly right. We know that at the beginning of the school year, there is some review built in, and that's great. But what we don't want is for teachers to spend so much time reviewing, they're really not moving on to new material. So here's my encouragement to parents. As you said, Steve, this doesn't have to be plunking your kid down in front of a worksheet at the dining room table. They won't enjoy that, neither will you. And that's not what I'm advocating for here. We do want kids to have a break from the traditional routine and to enjoy maybe sleeping in a little or staying up late or going on vacations with their family. So my encouragement is to parents, whenever you can, just incorporate these academic skills into what you have planned already. It doesn't have to be an arduous task. Say, for instance, you are already planning an outing to the zoo this summer. I love the zoo for myriad ages and developmental frames. If you have littles who are learning things such as colors or counting, you can ask them, what color is the animal you see, or how many giraffes are in the enclosure? Similarly, if you have older elementary school kids, you might challenge them with how to spell hippopotamus or rhinoceros or some other obscure and long animal and have a little spelling bee out of it. What I like about this is you're having this fun day, and it's a little bit like sneaking veggies into the spaghetti sauce. They don't even really know that they're doing school and keeping up those skills, but you can kind of work it in. Another great example of this is you're probably going to be bringing your kids on some errands with you that maybe you wouldn't have during the school year. I think of moms in particular for this who may need to tote kids to the grocery store now and things like that. You can incorporate math into that really easily when they're begging you for whatever fun cereal they want this week. And they say, but mom, it's on sale. Say, you know what? You're right. It's 10% off. How many dollars and cents is that? If you've got older elementary kids who are starting to work with percentages or decimals or fractions, these are great ways to sneak in some math. You also mentioned science, and I'm a big fan of not ignoring that over the summer. So a real fun way you can keep science going is maybe do some experiments in your kitchen, build a volcano. I once bought some caterpillars with my kids and we grew them and then released the butterflies in the summer. That was super fun. Kids can also even keep a nature journal when they're out and about, write down what kind of bugs they see or interesting plants. You get a little bonus there with the writing skills. So there's lots of ways to do this that still allow for summer fun.
Okay. And, I've got 6 grown kids and 12 grandkids, and I know very much about, well, there's actually a song on country radio called "She Thinks We're Just Fishing," you know, but there's other motivation, you know, there's other motivations behind it. You know, and some of those could be academic or just time together. But for those kids that are awfully sharp, you go, look, I know exactly what you're doing, and kind of bust you in the process of keeping their brains going in, with academics over the summer. How might you encourage parents to motivate kids to participate in these things?
Yes, I love that you brought this up because you're right. Some kids are, we need to give kids credit, and we sometimes don't give them enough, and many of them will be dialed in. So there's 2 approaches for this. One is make sure you are communicating in advance, especially if you have older kids. They deserve to have the heads up to say, hey, you know, we've let a couple things slide around here over the summer. So you might notice a couple things look different, but I promise I'm not going to be making you do homework. We just want you to keep your cognitive skills up. So here's what you can watch for. So give them that heads up. But then in terms of the motivation, I think a lot of it comes down to tying privileges to responsibility. You could say that the other way too. You tie a responsibility to an associated privilege. So you might, especially with olders, be able to say, hey, we have a responsibility to help you not lose the skills you've gained this school year. And I'd love to encourage you in that by offering you a privilege. So for instance, with reading, one example I use a lot when I'm coaching parents is to do a minute by minute comparison with reading. So for every minute you read, that's how many minutes of screen time you earn. And particularly over the summer, we can fall into losing some of the limits and boundaries on screen time. So this can be a great way to do that. Another one is to encourage fun that has the cognitive stuff built in where they don't even have to think, oh, is she trying to throw some school at me again? There's a lot of things like that. Kids have been for generations making lemonade stands, for instance. You don't even have to talk about school with that, but look at the things your kids are learning. They're going to learn math if they have to make change. They're going to learn some marketing skills when they make those posters to advertise their lemonade stand. And of course, them earning the money is a great motivation. If you say, I'm going to let you keep the profits, I also think it's great that kids get a little taste of entrepreneurship with that. So there's fun summer activities that have some little bit of school baked in, but it doesn't look so overt. And it might be more motivating if they know they get to earn their screen time or earn some money over the summer. Those kinds of things can really help, especially once you get kids that are in those older elementary years and beyond.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know how applicable this is. You know, we're talking about the kids taking a break from school and keeping their minds going on things academic through that summer break. But, you know, as I think to healthy competition between adult family members, including my spouse and my mom, we have the same puzzles that we do, the mind, you know, using type puzzles on our phones that we use daily. And we know as you grow older, the importance of, keeping these things going, especially if your family has a history of dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and what have you. But, you know, even healthy competition in areas like this may be an idea for parents to, you know, hey, especially, you know, maybe, you know, some of your older kids, keep up with me. Let's see how you do. But there's always something to find that can make it a little more fun and something that is really good for everyone.
Yes. And I love that you highlight that little competitive element, because for families who are struggling maybe with the idea of how do we keep reading skills up, a lot of libraries or community centers will even have a little bit of a summer reading program that has a competitive element. You can earn prizes, things like that. That might help encourage your more reluctant readers. I also love that that means they can choose the genre. During the school year, they often don't get to pick what they're reading. But if you've got a kid who enjoys fantasy or adventure or likes historical fiction, there's more bandwidth and freedom for that in a library summer reading program, for example. So you're right. And you also highlighted one of the silver linings of technology. Technology can get a bad rap, and some of that is well-deserved, but there can be learning games and even learning shows on some technology that parents can utilize over the summer too, so that the screen time itself isn't all just a waste and turning their brains to mush.
Yeah. Well, we've been visiting with Dina Thayer with Focus on the Family. And, you know, Dina, often I'll come back and ask, but I'm going to share a resource that I found actually while we were talking on the website at focusonthefamily.com. It's an older article, but it's absolutely applicable. If you just go to focusonthefamily.com, I did a search for summer ideas, and one of the articles that came up, and I think it may even go back a few years, is Beat Summer Learning Loss. You know, nothing new under the sun. This is something that's been dealt with, you know, since we started taking breaks from school. And you'll find a lot of information there that supports a lot of what we already talked about. With that in mind, though, I do want to throw it back to you, Dina. Any other resources to brush up on ideas that you'd recommend?
Well, thanks for sharing that article, Steve. And you're right, focusonthefamily.com is a plethora of resources. Here's what I encourage parents to do. If you click on the parenting tab, we have something that's somewhat newer to Focus and really helps with this. And that is, you can now search by the developmental frame of your child. So you can look up 0 to 3 year olds, 4 to 8, et cetera, and get some targeted resources specific to your child's age range and development. So I encourage families to do that. Just focusonthefamily.com and you'll see it right there when you click on the parenting tab. Ages and Stages is what it's called. And that provides a lot of helpful resources. And I just encourage parents to avail themselves of those kinds of things if they're a little stuck with ideas around this topic.
Very good. Well, Dina, we appreciate all the work you're doing along with the rest of the team at Focus on the Family. Thank you for your time today and look forward to having you back on.
I would love that. Thank you so much for the time.
And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.